More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, real self-care. Are you feeling drained or burned out? We're going to help you take better care of yourself. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we're taking a look at real self-care. You know, self-care involves more than getting a break or taking a bubble bath. Not that either of those things are wrong. They can be lovely in their place. But real self-care involves things like knowing how to set limits, asking for help, knowing when to say no, pacing yourself, processing feelings instead of repressing them or getting carried away by them, and other similar skills that protect our mental, emotional, spiritual, and relational health. If you can't do those things, a bubble bath ain't gonna cut it. So we're talking about real self-care today. What makes it hard for you to practice real self-care? Maybe you struggle with setting appropriate limits, saying no when you need to, feeling comfortable asking for help, processing your feelings instead of just stuffing them down or getting carried away by them, or other things that tend to cause you to feel burned out, stressed out, fried or frazzled in some way. Let us help you manage those challenging situations in your life or relationships, and practice some real self-care today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825.
I think that we do want to emphasize that none of those traditional self-care things is bad in and of itself. In fact,
they're good.
They can be very good. But what they're good for is lowering our emotional temperature, allowing us to move back into who we are instead of what we are. Okay, so when I say what we are, the spouse, the parent, the child, the adult child caretaker, the employee, the boss, whatever our roles are that have us feeling depleted, those self-care moments are supposed to lower our emotional temperature enough to remind us of the human being that we are, of the child of God we are, and then give us a chance to begin with a lower emotional temperature to come up with real plans and real capabilities to move things forward in a way that really helps us in everyday life.
Well, and lowering that emotional temperature helps reconnect us with the skills that we have.
Exactly.
To do the things I'm talking about, set limits, pace ourselves, process our feelings, ask for help. But if you don't know how to do those things well in the first place, then even when you take down your emotional temperature, you've got nothing to connect to. So what ends up happening is when you re-enter your life, you have this overwhelming sense of dread. Right, you know, when you come back from the vacation,
or you go right back up emotionally, like maybe even higher than you were before, because
right.
You're thinking, I'm only okay when I do X, Y, or Z. When I get time in front of the Blessed Sacrament and you never want to leave again, and you're just really, really jealous of all those monks and all those cloistered people. And here you have this other life that God has asked you to live. When you only get a chance to go out for a run, when you only get a chance to hang out in with your girlfriends, we've seen a lot over the last year or so, only when you get a chance to have that glass of wine, and then it's two glasses of wine, and then it's more glasses of wine. When it's just those things that calm us a bit in the moment and we don't connect it with learning those new skills to make us be able to handle life better and be who God's called us to be, that's when it gets to be imbalanced.
Yeah. So again, not knocking those little things we do to kind of treat ourselves or take care of ourselves, that's fine. But that's not what real self-care is. And so today we want to help you focus on those things that help you feel taken care of even in the middle of the storm. So tell us, you know, do you struggle with being able to set limits with people or be able to have people respect the limits that you're trying to set? Are you comfortable asking for help, or do you tend to feel guilty doing that and take it all on yourself, even when you know that you shouldn't? Do you struggle with processing those strong feelings, or do you tend to either just stuff them down or get carried away by them in spite of yourself? We want to help you engage in that real self-care that will enable you to feel calm, confident, and put together even when the pressure's on. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. You know, we run into this a lot in the practice where, you know, I'll give a couple of different examples. You know, moms, you know, who it's good to be able to step away from the kids from time to time. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that. But then there are, when you don't have these skills that we're talking about, you step away and then you just feel this sense of dread going back into it.
Or even you begin to grow in resentment of your life and your children and your family and all of that instead of finding joy and success in it.
And so you have to get away more and more and more, and then you start getting pressure from your family that you're not around, but then you get mad at them because they don't understand that you need to take care of yourself. But the problem isn't that you don't get away enough. The problem is that you don't know how to set limits, or you don't know how to ask for help, or you don't know how to process those feelings, and there just isn't enough away time or me time in the world to make up for that. Another example, you know, if I don't know how to manage my work stress effectively and I go away on vacation, you know, I'm going to come back from that vacation feeling more miserable than I did when I left because I don't have the ability to process that stress, to set those limits, to pace myself, to process my feelings. And so the break doesn't really help. It just becomes a way that I get away for a little bit, but it doesn't set me up for more success moving forward. You know, real self-care involves developing those skills that enable me to take full advantage of breaks, right? So again, we're not saying the breaks are bad. What we're saying is that without these skills, the breaks don't have the effect that they should. So this way, if I take that time away from the kids and I have these skills, I can come back in feeling like, you know what, I'm calmed down enough. I know what I'm capable of. I've got these tools. I can go handle it now. I go on vacation and I've got these skills. I can take that break. I can enjoy myself and I can come back in, go back to work feeling good about it because, you know, I've been able to calm down enough to reconnect with the resources I have. If I don't have those resources, I come back. I feel like at the end of vacation, I'm running into a wall. At the end of that night out with the girls, I'm running into a wall because I don't have those skills to be able to help me pace myself more effectively, ask for help when I need it, set the boundaries I need to set with with those people that are frustrating me. And so I just end up like I'm on a hamster wheel, right? So we are helping you deal with real self-care today. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. You know, it's 877-573-7825. And of course, you know, dealing with this idea of real self-care means that we have to become comfortable with letting other people take care of us sometimes. And that's hard for some Christians, especially because we know that we're meant to be generous and to be giving and to serve others. And all of that is absolutely true. But we also have a right to be taken care of. And we were created for that. And the theology of the body kind of speaks to that point.
Well, you're absolutely right, Greg, because there are these two ways to be generous, right? The first is by being generous to others and looking for easy and little ways to make their lives more pleasant and easier for them. That's us giving. But the second, and really not very talked about way, is by allowing people to actually serve us. And yes, even if we have to ask for their help. It's not just, well, if they love me, they'll just figure it out. Think about it. I think that most of us feel really good when we're able to use our gifts to make a difference in someone else's life. Well, that good feeling is a gift that the receiver makes possible by letting another person help them.
Right. So the theology of the body talks about these two ways of being generous. The first way is being a giving receiver. In other words, we're generous to others, and then we feel good for the difference we've been able to make in their lives. The other way that the theology of the body reminds us we can be generous is by being a receiving giver. In other words, we do what Lisa was just talking about. We let other people take care of us and give them the good feeling that they've been able to make a difference in our lives. We need to learn to stop being afraid of giving the gift of being a good receiver to others by being honest about our needs and expecting the people in our lives to help us meet those needs, even when we have to ask for it sometimes. Obviously, we don't want to take advantage of people, but that doesn't mean we don't have a right to expect that the people God has placed in our lives should support us, be a help to us, or look for ways to be a blessing to us. We were created for relationship, which is a two-way street. And the theology of the body reminds us that healthy, godly relationships are those where all the people in the relationship are committed to actively looking for ways to be there for each other.
And I think this is such a countercultural and even surprising thing to hear in our Catholic life, because we don't talk about this a lot. But just in our general culture here in the West, the idea of receiving gifts from others, that is almost unheard of, unless it's your birthday. And it's amazing to me. I was on a social media thing the other day, and one of the people there was saying to her friends, how much help should I give my husband in knowing what to do for my birthday? Because my birthday's coming up and he seems kind of clueless and hasn't gone well before. But I think that he should be able to figure it out. How much help should I give him? Oh my goodness. The answers were, I don't know what to tell you because we don't even bother to exchange gifts because it's just too hard for us to do and my husband doesn't like doing it. Oh no, he should definitely just have to be in charge of it. It's the one time of year where he just has to give to you. There were just mindsets that totally take out this idea of giving and receiving as being part of our daily flow of life to have a healthy self and a healthy relationship with someone. So the theology of the body here is mind-blowingly informative for us on how we can feel emotionally, spiritually, and physically better. This is imperative to develop this ability to receive as well as give, and not just on high days and holidays.
So the topic today is actually really quite broad and addresses a lot of different areas. You know, if you're struggling, you know, setting limits with people, or knowing when it's okay to set limits, or knowing how to have other people respect those limits once you've set them, let's talk it out. If you struggle with processing your feelings and letting those feelings, when I say processing feelings, people get confused about what I mean. What I mean is feeling, that anger, that anxiety, that frustration, that whatever it is, but being able to express it in a healthy way as opposed to repressing it and pretending it's not there or just getting swept away by it. If you struggle with being able to ask for help and feel okay about asking for help or even expecting other people to show up and help you. You know, all of these different examples that I'm giving are examples of what we might call real self-care. They are the things that help you actually take advantage of the night out with the girls, the bubble bath, the weekend away, the downtime. You know, if you don't have the kinds of things I'm talking about, When that downtime is over, you're going to end up feeling even more overwhelmed than before you took it. But if you have these skills, then taking that downtime really feeds your soul, because it helps you remember who you are, connects you with the grace that God's giving you, and the skills you have to deal with stuff. That's what we want to help you with today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we thank you for creating us as persons who both have that call to love others, but also have a right to expect to be loved. That your servant, St. John Paul, reminds us that we are created to live in communion, and that communion means giving and receiving. Help us to become more comfortable with the receiving aspects of that, allowing others to take care of us, practicing real self-care that enables us to process our feelings, to set limits, and to have healthy godly relationships, so that we can build your kingdom in all the relationships we have. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
And in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, we're talking about real self-care. Do you struggle with setting boundaries or limits, saying no when you need to? Do you feel guilty asking for help or letting other people take care of you? Is it hard for you to process your feelings instead of just squishing them down or getting carried away by them? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Hannah, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
Hi, Hannah. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. I am a stay-at-home mom and with a seven-month-old, and my husband works nights. And so he's the primary... Mm-hmm. You know, making us money.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sorry, words.
You're good.
And so when he finally has time, I feel bad asking him to watch our son so that I can go and take care of myself. Mm-hmm. And just balancing that.
So is it that you feel bad about it, or does he resist that, or kind of what's the dynamic?
He does not resist that. Mm-hmm. I just maybe overthink it because he's mm-hmm. working hard and I need to take care of the baby, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So listen, I want you to think about it a little bit differently. I'm going to talk, you know, from especially since he's receptive to this, right? It would be maybe a little bit different story if he was pushing back. But I you know, as a dad, I really cherish time with my kids one-on-one. And especially when they were younger, you know, because dads need to learn different strategies than moms to both, you know, comfort their baby or their toddler. We need to develop different, you know, sort of skills that help us connect.
Your own, your very own, that aren't just replicating, you know, what the wife and mom is doing.
If a baby is, you know, when our kids were little, if the baby was crying or fussing, you know, Lisa could just nurse the baby.
Yeah.
I can't nurse, you know. I have to come up with other things I can do. And that takes time for me to be able to work that out. And I need to be able to do that on my own, because if mom's there, then that little girl is going to prefer mom.
The
right?
baby wants the usual mom that's always there and that they're attached to, and mom's instinct is to say, you're doing it wrong. So actually inviting your husband to take over for a while you get some time for yourself, whether that's in your house or getting out for a little bit once your child's been fed, is actually a gift to both of them to develop that relationship. And spiritually, you can remember that this, you know, the relationship your child develops with your husband, this child's father, is going to be very important in developing this child's spiritual life as they grow older. So you're giving a gift to your family by taking that time. But Hannah, I want to say, I really want to challenge you on your mindset. You've taken on a very worldly mindset about what you're doing as a mom, and that mindset says, because it's not bringing in a paycheck, it's less than what your husband is doing because he's working set hours with a paycheck. You're growing an entire human being. You grew one for 9 months, and now you've been raising one and keeping this child alive for 7 months, and without you, this child's world ends, literally ends. Nobody can give to this child spiritually or emotionally what you can give, and physically you're providing everything, and even if you, you know, got somebody else in to do it, they're not going to do it the way a mama can. And everybody craves, every single human being craves knowing they're safe and happy with their mom. You're doing a major spiritual work here, and you have to give yourself credit for it, but be able to say, but Dad needs to be able to experience some of this too, and it's okay for me to take a break. Just like if he came home and said, I'm deadbeat, honey, from the night. Can I go out and, you know, get a drink with my friend or go out for a run or whatever it is? You'd be like, of course, honey, you work so hard. So do you, and it's a mighty work that you're doing.
So give your husband that gift of some alone time with your little one so that he can develop a really strong relationship there and the skills that he needs to be able to comfort your little one like only a father can, just like you have ways of comforting your child as only you can. I hope that this encouragement will help you let yourself off the hook a little bit. If you do struggle with that and you need more support, I'm going to encourage you to check out our book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, which really talks about how you can change some of the self-talk that goes through your mind that prevents you from allowing yourself to engage in that self-care and give your husband that gift of one-on-one time with your little one. But I think the suggestions and the coaching that we gave you on the air will get you started. Like I said, if you need more support, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety could be a good help for you. You can pick that up at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. We got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about real self-care, and we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins, who'll be sharing some insights about how we can approach self-care in a healthy way. Stick around for more coming up after the break.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton, some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
Have you heard the latest and greatest travel news? One more reason to join us on our premier Tease Italy pilgrimage, La Dolce Fede, or The Sweetness of Faith, this November 6th to the 14th. Hi, it's Teresa Tomio, and yes, it's an unbelievable price, some $3,600 for a 7-night land package, including Assisi, Orvieto, Rome, and much more. But now, and here's the latest and greatest news, no reason to worry about having to test to come back home. All testing requirements dropped. No vaccination, no testing, an incredible opportunity to visit tombs of the great saints such as Francis, Claire, Blessed Carlos Acutis, and so much more, except those tests. So call Corporate Travel now, 800-727-1999, or visit us online, AveMariaRadio.net, on our travel page. Call now, the trip is filling up, 1-800-727-1999. Hope to see you in Bella Italia in November.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Thank you for joining us on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today we're talking about self-care. And joining us right now, Rachel Watkins, the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Lisa.
You know, you've been through a lot, including a chronic illness, a large family, other stressors. How do you engage in self-care?
Well, I think the most important thing about self-care is to remember all the aspects of it. We need to take care of ourselves emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And if we neglect any of those pieces as we're trying to take care of ourselves, we won't get the help we need. For myself, It's recently been physical help I've needed. As my MS has gotten worse, I've had to reach out to my husband and my kids for real concrete help. But I ask for the help I want, not the help they necessarily think I need. If I say to Matthew I need help, he's immediately like, solve problem solving. Okay, Rachel, sit down. We'll take care of everything. When really what I want is a little help in ways that I describe it so that I don't feel like a complete invalid.
Well, and I think that's interesting. You shared with me a really practical way that that happened. And you were saying it's harder for you to get around the kitchen now. And so Matthew was just saying, well, let's just let the kids cook dinner. It's fine. Yeah. We've got adult kids in the house. And that provoked a response from you that I think is important for our listeners to hear about.
Well, for me, when Matthew offered that help, it made me feel like an invalid, which I'm not. And it made me feel discounted. So what I asked him rather was, can we rearrange the kitchen in a way that what I needed was readily available? I then have my kids as my sous chefs, as I call them. One each meal when I cook dinner to be my extra legs, be that extra set of hands so that I don't have to walk as much. So I took the help Matthew offered, tweaked it to a way that made me feel emotionally supported, and then got the help I really needed.
I think that's so important when we talk about this, because often we think we have to accept other people's answers for our problems. But when we take some time and engage with God and say, Lord, help me figure out what it is I really need and give me the courage to express that to the people who are offering me help, things can really change up and it begins to hit home in a way that really empowers us.
And mentioning God is so important because I was hurt by Matthew's request. But when I took it to my prayer time, I saw his care and his love. And then I found the words I needed with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to then return with a better plan.
And Rachel, I got to jump in, but thank you so much for joining us today. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, they can go to beholdpublications.com. And we'll be back with your calls about real self-care and the challenges for getting it when More to Life continues after the break.
Those who deny the full humanity of the preborn will be toying with the sentiments of pro-life people. They will say, you can't really believe in the humanity of the unborn unless you support this or that piece of legislation. The pro-life position is quite different. We might well believe that we need to improve social conditions, but first of all, we believe that the preborn are a good to be protected. Even if born into poverty, even if born into unstable, violent homes, we want to eliminate those terrible conditions. But it is the height of arrogance to tell human beings like unborn children who cannot communicate or reason or stand up for themselves that they are better off dead, because we know from our own experience that we would choose life and survival over death, no matter how poor our social environment.
Cresta in the Afternoon. Weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I often go back to my childhood. In church, we love to be reverent, to Christ present in the Eucharist, to Christ on the cross. But I was also impressed by the reverence of my friends in the Salvation Army. They had a little band. And I used to walk past the band on Sunday morning on my way to church. And I was just a child, but I said, you know, they're trying to pray to God. They're showing reverence to God. All this was reverence. Now what do I see? I hear one irreverence after another. And week after week, month after month, the media churns out things that make fun of religion in general and make fun of Christianity in particular, and particularly make fun of the Catholic Church. No class. Absolutely no class.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Hi, this is Lisa Popcheck. Arguments between siblings are inevitable. We all want our children to develop strong bonds, but to do this, it's important to remember the healthiest sibling relationships begin from day one. And I do mean day one. Allow your older child to play some role in the new baby's birth. The status quo is to ship the older sibling off to some relative's house until the new baby comes home.
But allowing your older child to participate in some way will solidify your older and younger child's place in the family and their relationship with one another. Whether that's cutting the cord, cuddling their siblings soon after birth, or helping give baby its first bath, we've found that if the older child is involved in some way, the baby will be better received and you will lay a solid foundation for a healthy relationship. For more tips on how to foster healthy family life, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today we're talking about real self-care. Are you feeling drained or burned out? Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with taking a break. In fact, it's good just to go out for the night or to get some time away, to pray.
It's Friday. It's what we all want to do, right? We all need a bit of a break.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But real self-care involves more than that. You know, real self-care involves things like being able to know how to set limits, asking for help, knowing how to say no, feeling comfortable asking for help, being able to process your feelings instead of repressing them or getting carried away by them. If you don't know how to do those things, there aren't enough bubble baths in the world to make up for it. So we want to talk about, when you come back from the break, how do you continue to take real care of yourself so that you can feel calm and confident and put together even when everything's kind of going crazy around you. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let us help you engage in real self-care and have the peace that God wants for you.
We have a message here from Libby, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio. And she said, Greg and Lisa, I'm having a hard time communicating with my husband about my need for rest and quiet time. Because we've been home for most of the year, and now everybody's home for the summer, including my husband, who's still working virtually, everybody's acting like it's just vacation time. Well, even vacation time needs somebody to clean up after it, and it's all falling to me. In addition, my husband's keeping the kids up too late, and we still need to coordinate showers and bedtime and reading time and family prayer, and I'm the one coordinating it. Everything is just falling to me, and his attitude is, whatever. And when I talk to him about it, he actually said, I just need to learn to chill out, which definitely didn't make me feel more chill. I keep telling my husband that I need some time, but he thinks that this time shouldn't include rules or schedules because not only is it summer, but we're all recovering from the stress of what we've gone through here in Michigan during the pandemic. Am I crazy? Do I just need to let it all go? Is my husband right? Or can I get my needs met in all this? And if so, how? And that is Libby listening on Ave Maria Radio.
All right, Libby, thank you so much for the question. All right, so I'm going to, there could be two different issues going on here. I'm going to give you some suggestions for both, okay? The first one, here's the determining factor. I would just say, if you were on the call, I would ask you, is your husband receptive to your needs, your concerns, when you're not on vacation? Like, you know, if generally speaking, he's pretty receptive, you go to him and you say, hey, look, I'm concerned about this, or I'm worried about that, or I have this need. You know, if he's receptive to that in those contexts, what that's saying is that, okay, you know, he's got some weird ideas about what a vacation should be, and so you want to just address that. If he's not generally receptive, then that speaks to a larger problem in the marriage that you're not going to be able to solve over vacation. It's going to be something that you have to deal with more aggressively when you get home. But let's just assume that this is more sort of an issue with vacation, because people do have ideas about, well, I should just be able to be off and not do anything. So the first thing I want you to do, all right, is I want you to go to him and say, so I really need your thoughts on how X is going to get done. Like, you know, if I just chilled out, how would you propose that all these dishes would get done? What's your idea for making that happen, husband?
That they're going to get the amount of sleep that they need so that we can have a good day the next day. I love this idea because it's not you coming at him sort of as a parent figure saying, all right, it's time to do the dishes, or we got to get to bed by this time, or we have to pray now. It's actively asking him to think about it and engage in it without you imposing. And he has to answer in some way other than, well, just chill out, because things have to get done.
Yeah, because, I mean, if it's just that he has sort of this sort of weird kind of, you know, everything goes attitude toward vacation, what that means is he was raised in a household where his mom probably took care of everything, mm-hmm. and everybody else just ran off and did their own thing. And he needs to have those perceptions challenged. Now, if he's not, generally speaking, receptive to your needs and your concerns, that conversation isn't going to work. And what you're going to need to do when you get home from vacation is call a good marriage and family therapist and make an appointment. Because what you're talking about there is what's called a failure to accept influence. Happy marriages involve the willingness to accept influence from each other, which means that when one person goes to the other person responds positively and well to those needs or those concerns or those issues. Women are generally speaking better at accepting influence than men, but in happy marriages, they are equally accepting of each other's influence. So my hope is that just by going to your husband and instead of saying, well, you need to do this and this is my plan and you need to get on board with it. If he doesn't like that, then say, all right, honey, I'm absolutely willing to chill out. What are your ideas for getting this thing done? Help me understand how, if you were here, how would it go? And put him in charge of it. Right?
Yeah, now, and this is not, let me be clear here. You're having a respectful conversation and you're saying, this is what's going on. We need this, this, and this. How do you propose we get this done with the way we're leading our lives, with this chill-out way that you prescribe for our family life? Give me a plan for this. As opposed to something that's been shoved down our throat by, you know, all sorts of media for the last 30 years, which is get mad enough that you walk out the door and say, well, I'm going away for a week and you just deal with the kids and the dishes and the house and it makes it into a battle. You're asking him questions so he actually has to think about what's going on around him besides him just running his area of his life, which is work and hanging out with the kids and having some fun, which that's fine that he's wanted to bring more of that into your lives after the year that you've had in Michigan, or that we've all had through summer vacation before the kids have to go back to school and a big routine again. We all need a bit of that, but we can't do it in chaos. So you're asking him, okay, honey, I really hear the wisdom in what you're saying, but what's your strategy for how we're going to handle X, Y, and Z together? That's going to allow you to problem solve together without creating a battle between the two of you.
But as I said, if that conversation doesn't work, it points to a larger issue in the marriage that you're going to need to seek some professional help with. So if that's the case, then I'd encourage you to check out either the Marriage Friendly Therapist, marriagefriendlytherapist.com for a local referral, or contact us at catholiccounselors.com to learn more about our telecounseling practice. Thanks so much for the message, Libby, and I hope that these suggestions will get you started. 877-573-7825. We're talking about real self-care today, the ability to do things like set limits, say no without feeling guilty, ask for help comfortably, processing your feelings instead of just stuffing them down or getting carried away by them. Those are the things that enable us to feel taken care of even when everything's falling apart and we can't get away. Let's talk about how to build those skills in your life. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Christiana, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
Christiana, welcome to More to Life.
Hello. I'm sorry. I kind of have my voice lost today,
I'm sorry. Well, I hope you recover quickly.
I'm glad you called in anyway. We'll just do our best to muddle through it together and hear you as best we can. What can we do for you today?
Thank you. So I was telling the screener, you know, I'm pretty good at expressing my emotions. That's something I really pride myself in, and that's helped me go really far in my life in the last few years. And that's also a strength with my marriage. But lately, there's one issue that I do express myself with, but I still can't help but I get really upset every time it comes up. So my husband and I, we have a 2-year-old daughter, so, you know, we don't have a lot of time to spend together one-on-one anymore. And he also has a new small business he opened about a year ago. And we both work as well besides his business. So, you know, he tries to do the things that he needs to do for his business as quickly as possible so that we have time to spend together. But, like, whenever he does things related to his business, I get really upset. It's like I get kind of jealous in a way, and I don't want to be like that because I support his business, and I'm glad he found something he's passionate about, but
But you're saying this is in addition to a full-time job that he already has and that you work as well.
Yes.
So
you have a 2-year-old.
Yeah, and you have a 2-year-old. So yeah. What I guess I'm wondering is, I mean, how do you have any time together?
We don't.
Well, then that's the problem, right? It's not that you're, you know, it's not that you're, you know, that you're jealous and selfish for wanting to have, you know, time with you're not making unreasonable demands. What's kind of happened is that, you know, you guys have gone into this, you know, business without really kind of asking how are we going to maintain our primary obligation to our, you know, commitments with each other and our child. You know, as Catholics, you know, our first obligation is to protect that marriage and family bond. You know, and yes, we have to be able to pay our bills, and yes, we have to do a good job for our employers or, you know, our customers. But that's all still secondary to maintaining our primary commitment to our relationship with each other and our kids. That's the sacrament. That's the thing that where our salvation is worked out day to day. And so to neglect it, you know, even for really good reasons, is still a pretty serious offense. And so this feeling of loneliness and resentment and frustration that you're feeling is really the Holy Spirit saying, hey guys, you know, you're not prioritizing your sacrament. We need to do something about that, right? So now there are unhealthy ways to handle that, unhealthy ways to handle that. But I just want to start by affirming the fact that your desire to insist that, hey, you know, we need to prioritize our marriage and family life is a healthy thing and a godly thing, and that, you know, it's important to really have those some conversations about it. Now, you know, you say that your husband is trying to do the stuff related to this new business he started quickly so that he can get home and get time with you, and that's good. So that says to me that he recognizes on some level that marriage and family life is important. But what I'd like you guys to do is I want you to sit down, okay, and I want you to think about this. Relationships run on time like cars run on gas. Okay, so different cars get different fuel economy. Different cars get different miles to the gallon. Same thing is true for relationships. Different relationships require more or less time to function at their best. I want you and your husband to sit down and have a real conversation about the last time you really both felt good about each other and your child. And I want you to ask yourselves, how much time did we spend that week? Now, this is not a vacation week. I'm talking about a regular week. And it could even be a while ago, but the last time you had a regular week where you felt pretty connected to each other, then I want you to sit down and ask yourselves, how much time did you actually give to those relationships that week? Like, come up with a guesstimate of an actual number. Was it 5 hours, 10 hours, 15 hours? How much time did you actually spend with each other, interacting with each other in a meaningful way? Step two: what were the things you did with that time? You know, did you go to church together? Did you have a game night? Did you have a date? Did you, you know, have a family day? What did you do that you took advantage of that time that you spent that 10 or 15 hours on? Okay, that number that you come up with, that is your minimum daily or minimum weekly requirement. That is your gas mileage for your family. That is the number of hours your family requires to function well. Okay, and you might say, well, gosh, we don't have that time. Well, that's fine, but you need to be working toward it. You need to acknowledge that if we aren't hitting that number, we're running on fumes, and we're going to be irritable with each other. We're going to get our wires crossed. We're going to step on each other's toes more. We're not going to enjoy each other's company more. So we've got to be working toward that, finding a way to achieve that number of hours that we need to function as a couple and as a family. As part of that, I'm going to also encourage you to look at the ways that you work and play and talk and pray together. You know, when you're shooting for that 10 or 15 hours or whatever it is, how do you use that time? How do you split that up into working, playing, talking, praying together every day so that you're getting that time that you need to kind of touch on all the bases, all right? So just to recap, one, that desire to get more time as a couple and as a family, that is healthy and godly. And in fact, you have an obligation to put your sacrament first. Number two, really have a serious conversation with your husband about the number of hours it takes to function well by reflecting, when was the last time we really had a good week where we felt connected to each other? How much time did we spend with each other? And what did we do in that time? And then thirdly, make sure you're covering all your bases by asking, when we have that time, how would we work, play, talk, and pray together to make sure we are covering those bases and connecting on all those really important spots? I'm going to encourage you, as a way of kind of building on this framework, to check out a Facebook discussion group that we've got called Catholic Home. It's HOM, stands for Households on Mission. And it talks about how to build a close, peaceful, godly Catholic household that, you know, really satisfies the longings of your heart and really enables you to bear witness to that Catholic vision of love in your marriage and family life. And that's, if you just go on Facebook and check out Catholic HOM, stands for Households on Mission, we'll let you into the group. We'd love to have your voice there too. And I think there's a lot of resources and articles and things that you can, and support from thousands of other families that are on that group, to really kind of see where you need to be heading with this. All right. But I really appreciate your call, Christiana.
You know, I want to hit on something that you said, Greg, that I don't want to just float by people's minds here, because all three of these callers today so far have hit on something that I want to reiterate. We put so much emphasis on the importance of doing things that our society rubber stamps as great. Okay, so either the check you get for your work, or the accolades you get for your volunteering, or whatever that is. But you said, because it's the truth, that marriage is a sacrament, and when we neglect it, we're neglecting a sacrament. I want to go back to this last year of our lives, where people were sad, hurt, feeling depleted by, angry about not being able to receive the Eucharist, not being able to receive the sacraments during lockdowns. But nobody spends the kind of time they should with the sacrament that we have in our lives if we're married and have a family. That is a sacrament, and we should be just as passionate about making sure that we don't neglect that sacrament as we have been feeling about the Eucharist through the past year. God's calling our attention to all the sacraments and trying to call us back to Him. So let's live out all these sacraments, including the one we live out in our daily lives if we're married people, with more passion and more commitment.
Amen. We got to go to break, but as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10.
We are His handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has prepared in advance.
You know, and I love this because it reminds us that we are created by God and need to take care of ourselves, one, because He loves us, and two, because He has a plan for ways that He wants to bless others through us.
And bless us by being involved in them.
Yeah. Great resource there, or great insight there. We are His handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has prepared in advance. So take care of yourself so you can be a good tool in God's hands. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about real self-care. How do you take care of yourself? Not just when you get away, or you get that time to do that thing you love, or just, you know, to treat yourself in some way. Those are all good things. But when you come back, how do you continue to take care of yourself? By setting those limits, by saying no without feeling guilty, by asking for help when you need to, by being able to process your feelings and express them in healthy ways instead of just squashing them down or getting carried away with them. That's what real self-care looks like. And let us help you do that in your life at 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up after the break.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
There's a difference between a talk show and a news show. Like, this is a talk show. We have talk shows on Ave Maria and EWTN. So talk show hosts are allowed to, and encouraged actually, to give their opinion, always looking at everything through the lens of Scripture and the teachings of the Catholic Church. And we are, in terms of what we do, we are expected that those opinions will reflect, maybe a deeper understanding, provide you with other examples of how to apply that teaching to your life. That's what we do here at EWTN and Ave Maria Radio, and we make no bones about the fact that we are pro-life, we are Catholic, we are here to uphold the teachings of the Church. So you're not going to hear us proclaiming anything that would be errant teaching or against what the Church gives us, especially on the core issue of life.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thanks for sharing this part of your day with us on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we just have a couple minutes, so I wanted to take a call that came in earlier but couldn't stay on. It's from Kay, who said that when she's stressed out, she takes time to memorize scripture verses or even sing hymns, favorite verses to her, and that gives her comfort. And I think that's really important, you know, to find those things that give us comfort, especially in our prayer life. But the one thing I wanted to add to that is that it's really important that we not, and I'm not suggesting, Kay, that you're doing this, by the way, it just occurred to me as I was reflecting on your question, that it's really important for us to not just see our faith as kind of a spiritual opioid that helps us calm down in the face of stress, and then that's it.
We have to take that next step once we've made that connection with the Holy Spirit in these ways.
It's like what we were saying before, actually saying through the whole show, doing things like that, right? Taking that break, spending that time in more quiet prayer, reflecting on those particular scriptures, that's meant to do something for us, right? It's not just meant to calm us down. It's meant to calm us down so that we can connect with the other resources and the graces that God is giving us so that we can go back out there and deal with, not just cope with those stressors, not just get through those stressors, but overcome those stressors.
Yeah, I mean, one of the best self-cares we can tell people is what you're doing, Kay, which is connecting with God in some way. But if we just took, let's do the analogy, if we just had date night with our spouses once a week, we went out on a date, we pretended, you know, nothing else in our lives existed, and that was it for the week. We never, you know, had a better marriage because of it, talked more, worked better together, played more together, planned things for our day together. It was just, you know, 2 hours a week, we went to a restaurant, we went to a movie, that's all we saw of each other. It wouldn't work. And the same thing is true with these moments of connecting with the Holy Spirit. If we get filled up with the Holy Spirit for a little bit, but don't say, okay, now, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? How do you want me to work on these situations that are going on in my life or that I feel are depleting me? what do I need to adjust here so I'm really walking in your will in this situation? We're missing the real connection that God's trying to make with us by giving us this moment of peace and calm with Him.
So whether you're taking spiritual breaks or personal breaks or any kind of break, remember that those breaks exist to help you come back into the situation with new tools, new insights, and a new confidence to handle it. If you find that those breaks aren't doing it, then you don't need more breaks. You need more skills. And if you'd like to get more skills, you can check out the resources we have to help you do that at CatholicCounselors.com. Check out the books we recommended on today's show, as well as learning more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Again, all the information is at CatholicCounselors.com. Then get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because with His grace, there is so much more to life. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.